Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In the Old Testament, God's glory was only seen by a few. Moses saw it, crying out to see more. But Paul wrote that when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now we can behold and be changed by the glory of God. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. Turn again to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 as we find out how the glory of God changes us.
First of all, you'll notice now in verse 18, and it's the focus for what I have to say. Verse 18, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. That's the verse, and we're going to look at it phrase by phrase. First of all, in this new covenant era, we have greater opportunity. Notice the little phrase, and we all. The opportunity that Moses had is going to be given to everyone. When Moses went high into the mountain, the people were to stand back. In fact, at Sinai, there was a fence put around the mountain, and God says, don't you dare come near. Stand back. God's presence is coming. Moses, of course, was invited up to the mountain. Then you have the priesthood. The priests were able to go into the Holy of Holies on one day of year, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Now, what's happening in the new covenant is, God says we all are invited to the top of the mountain. We all have the opportunity of seeing God. We all believers, weak believers, new believers, old believers, defeated believers, we're all invited to what God has prepared for us. So he says, first of all, we have greater opportunity. Secondly, second advantage is we have greater boldness. Now, this is a remarkable statement. You'll notice in verse 12, it says, since we then have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses. And that's why the text says in verse 18, we all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord. Moses put a veil on his face lest the children of Israel would see the fading glory. And Paul is saying to us today that we don't even have to put a veil on our face. What we have to do, what our privilege is to come into God's presence unveiled, directly, boldly. Hebrews chapter 10, that because Jesus Christ died for us, we have boldness to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus. We come boldly. And we come boldly because when Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent, and the opportunity that the priests had to go in on one day a year is now open to everyone. We are in God's presence, and we come through that blood, and it is available for all people because all of us now are priests before God if we've trusted Jesus as Savior. So we come with a great deal of boldness. In fact, did you know that in Romans chapter 5, where the Bible says, when we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have received access into his grace, wherein we stand. It's not just that we have access to God, but the intention of the text is that in Jesus, we have been brought into God's presence, and there we live in God's presence. Whatever you do, you're in God's presence. Driving along the Kennedy, you're in God's presence. Riding the L, you're in God's presence. You're in an office, you're in God's presence. Because Jesus has brought us close to God. And because of that, we approach with boldness, with expectancy. I know that this translation says with confidence. It's the same idea. But we come boldly to God. There's a third contrast, and that is we come also with greater clarity. We have greater clarity. Now, your Bible is open. You'll notice it says there, beholding the glory of the Lord. The footnote there says, reflecting the glory of the Lord. Both ideas are there. Because if you behold the glory of the Lord, you also reflect His glory. And Christians do both. In fact, as we behold, we also reflect. But we come to God with much greater clarity. You know, in James chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible is spoken of as a mirror. It is a mirror of our own hearts. It is also a mirror of God and of Jesus. If I can put it this way, in Old Testament times, they saw Jesus as one might see yourself in a water. If you look into a pond of water, you can look down and you can comb your hair, but you're not seeing anything very clearly. But in a mirror, now you can behold things in detail. Do you realize the average Israelite knew that a Redeemer was coming because of these sacrifices, but they didn't know what that looked like. Now we see Jesus. Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." And John says, "We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now we see things that they didn't see in the Old Testament, or I should say, we see a person that they didn't see with clarity in the Old Testament. We are so fortunate to live on this side of the cross and not anticipate the cross as they did in the Old Testament times. So we come with clarity. We come with clarity. And we're not expected to have any glory of our own. We behold His glory and we reflect His glory. I think that the moon, which gives light during the night, if the moon could talk, and I don't think it is talking, but if it could, it might say something like this: "I'm so glad that the sun does not expect anything from me. I'm glad that the sun does not expect any light from me, because all that the moon does is reflect the light of the sun. It just needs to be there." You and I, we know that we are vessels of clay. We are weak. We are prone to sin. We have good intentions, and then we don't follow through. We are very, very ordinary, subject to flaws. But isn't it wonderful to know that God isn't expecting any glory from us, as if to say we reach down within ourselves and find it there? No, we behold Him, and then we reflect Him. But we can do so with greater clarity and understanding than they could in Old Testament times. So we've looked at the fact that we have greater opportunity, greater boldness, greater clarity, and also greater transformation. Now let's look at the text. As we behold the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image, namely Jesus, becoming Christ-like, and are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this is wrought by the Lord, the Spirit. The word transformation is the word metamorphos. Metamorphos, in fact, is a transliteration of the Greek word that is used here. If you look at the word metamorphos in a dictionary, it will define it as a profound change. In fact, the example that it gives is the creation of the butterfly and how the butterfly goes in that transformation. You have the caterpillar and then the butterfly. It is an inner transformation. It is not simply a difference in appearance. It is even a difference in very nature. That's how deep God's transformation goes in our lives. So that which we loved, namely sin, we begin to detest. That which we hated, namely Christians and the Bible and church and God, we begin to love. Because there's something happening within us that is deep and lasting. And God is at work creating us into the image of Jesus so that we are more like him. You've heard me give the illustration before. Someone said to a sculptor, "How do you make an elephant?" He said, "It's very easy. You take a block of marble and then you simply chip away everything that isn't elephant." And what God desires to do in our lives, through our experiences, through our struggles, is to chip away everything that isn't Jesus and create within us the transformation that glorifies him as we look at his glory. What's the bottom line, and why should this transform our lives? First of all, the bottom line is that beholding is a way of becoming. You become what you look at. You spend your life watching television, that is what you become. We become what we look at. And the whole emphasis here on the text is that the soul grows in relationship to what we gaze at, what attracts our attention. That's what is birthed within us, a greater appetite for whatever it is that we feed. And so as we look at Jesus, and in a moment I'll give you more instruction on what that looks like, we become transformed into his image.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I sure hope that you are tuned in next time as I give a greater exposition of what it means to look like Jesus. Because after all, we are being transformed into his image from glory to glory, even as by the Lord, the Spirit. So if you're interested in how the Lord Jesus Christ changes us and changes character, you be sure to tune in. Also, in a moment, there will be further information given to you at the end of this broadcast, but may I take a moment? Because some of you will want to listen to these messages again and again, share them with your friends. So our website by which you can do that is to go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. And as you go there, keep in mind that we are dependent upon you for your financial support, for your prayers, for your interest. As I say frequently on this broadcast, together we are making a difference, and I cannot thank you enough for your partnership. God bless you. See you right here next time.
Erwin Lutzer with more of How the Glory of God Changes Us, his seventh message in a series on Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. Next time, the end result of your glorious transformation. We'd like to send you the entire series on the glory of God on CD. It's our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.